First of all, let me just ask. You hear me coughing a lot, and I have an issue that causes this, and it gets to where it's just constant 24/7. So excuse me if I have to take a break and cough a little bit. I keep canning my mouth. I got some water here, but sometimes it just doesn't help. So, and I'm seeing the doctor tomorrow for it. So anyway, thank you for that. The message this morning is communion. Now, I've given a message similar to this in the past, but I thought it was time that we just are reminded of why we come to the table. And when we come around to a time of communion, our attention can't help but be drawn to the two elements. We have the bread, and we have the grape juice. But these two symbols represent something much bigger and much more important than just bread and just juice. We're all familiar with the Last Supper that was celebrated between Jesus and his disciples. Amy read about it this morning. And as part of the Passover celebration. And we read that Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and he broke it. And giving it to his disciples, told them that it was his body given for them. And that they are to do this in remembrance of him. This is just not a fancy action that we do once a month. Some churches only do it four times a year. John Wesley suggested that we come to the table every day. So did John Calvin, by the way. But we do it once a month here. And it isn't, like I said, just, okay, well, it's Communion Sunday. We got to go take the bread and the wine or the juice. It's much more than that. We need to humble ourselves before we come to the table. We need to be reminded that it isn't just elements. It's what they represent. I remember as a kid, we would skip church sometimes, if I can use that word. Maybe we were on vacation, didn't make it to our church. But my parents made work of the Sunday that they were not going to be in church was not the Sunday that we took communion. Come whatever it may be, on Communion Sunday, we were there. Because it was that important, and it still is today, that we come to the table. So after he took the bread, he took the cup, and he explained to his disciples that the cup is like, get this word now, the new covenant in his blood. We hear about the old covenant and the new covenant. Well, people lived by the old covenant until this moment. In that upper room that day, when Jesus brought these elements and talk to his disciples and explain what they represent, is the time that he introduced the new covenant. People no longer had to live under the old covenant. I'll talk about that again in just a couple of minutes. And we are told to do this in remembrance of Jesus. In the remembrance of him dying on the cross. In the remembrance that through that he forgave our sins. You see, remembrance is a time activity, is a time actively remembering something. Remembrance is an action. It is not a passive event. And we are called to actively participate in remembering Christ. Once a month we do this when we come to the table. That's just to remember the remembering. We don't just come to the table once a month and remember Jesus, and then when we leave here later this morning, we don't have to remember him again until next month, right? We are to remember him constantly. You know, when we think of remembrance, we may recall Remembrance Day. A day when we pause to recall the sacrifice that our fellow Americans made for our freedom. Well, communion is much the same. It's an opportunity for us to pause on the awesome sacrifice that our Lord, our King Jesus, made on that cross over 2,000 years ago. Jesus, when he was sharing this Last Supper with his disciples, he told them that the cup is the new covenant in his blood. So what's a covenant? A covenant is a legal binding contract. When we think of it like that, we may think of something like a phone contract or a property lease. Each party receives what they want out of the deal, but remain completely separate from each other. But a covenant, the covenant with God, isn't anything like that. A covenant with God is all about relationships. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He longs for us to come into that relationship, and God never wanted us to be separated from him. When he gave the new covenant, it was saying, I want you, and I want you permanently. I want you constantly. Not just when it's convenient for you, but always. Jesus is always there. That is the guts, if I can use that word, of the new covenant. You see, God made a covenant with Moses at Mount Sinai. And this covenant, although it was about relationships, was about law. That's the old covenant. This covenant was a system of laws. It was a series of codes. It had rituals and observances. And people were accountable to these laws. So, what comes to mind? Moses? Mount Sinai? Laws? We read them here once a month, twice a month, between them and the Beatitudes. We're thinking the Ten Commandments. Well, that certainly is part of it, the Old Covenant. But here's something that may surprise you. Actually, the number of laws in the Old Covenant was 613 laws. 613. Now, I'm not smart enough to tell you every one of them, but that number is amazing. The people, every time the people failed to live by the standard of the old covenant, they had to offer sacrifices. That's why we read all about through the Old Testament about sacrifices. That was because They didn't live to all 613 laws that Moses laid down. So here's the thing. The law was never meant to save us. The Old Covenant was a series of laws that were laid down as a standard for living. If you were good enough to live by all 613 laws all of the time, it had nothing to do with guaranteeing you would be saved. Just as if we just live to the Ten Commandments, it has nothing to do with us being saved. And I would venture to say that there isn't anybody here this morning that can say they adhered to all Ten Commandments last week, or yesterday, or this morning. Just ten. We can't even do that. How would we do 613? To live perfectly and righteously by the law was impossible. It would be the same as saying that you never make mistakes. Other than me, none of you do. Oh, no. We all make mistakes, and we all fall short of the glory of God, and we all fall short of God's righteousness standards. We all sin, and the wages of that sin is death. Until Jesus came and died on the cross, the people in the Old Testament, it seemed, didn't have a chance. But we know different. We know they did because of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Old Covenant was to show people that they were guilty before God and in need of a Savior. They knew there was a Messiah coming. They just didn't know who and when and how and why. So you can imagine a life in that old covenant, a life where you had to try to live a perfect life, trying your hardest to abide by 613 very difficult laws. 613 laws that were never meant to save us. 613 laws that could never fully restore our relationship with our Father God. So in a moment, we're going to take communion together. And as we do, let's remember what God did for us so that we could not only have a restored relationship with Him, but that we could spend eternity with Him. As we come to the table, that is what remembrance that we need to subscribe to. To achieve this purpose, God sent His only Son. He sent Jesus Christ to die as a sacrifice for our sins. God Himself suffered for His people. This is how much God loves us, to give us His Son for the sole purpose, through death on the cross, that we may be saved. That's how much He loves us. That He paid the ultimate price so that we can spend eternity with Him. And there is no greater love than this. I challenge you to find one that is more meaningful, has more reward, and is greater than the love of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, he said, "It is finished." So I have a question this morning, is what was finished? I'm sure if we worked hard enough at it, we could come up with a whole list. But the important things that was finished was is our debt was paid. Not partially, not a little bit, but in full. We no longer had a debt. No other sacrifices were required. We don't need to bring animals to church and lay them on a sacrificial table. That's the old covenant. It's gone, done with, no longer exists. No more animals. No more blood. No more dark cloud of guilt that hangs over us. Because of our sins, no more shame. We were freed from the curse and the penalty of sin. We were freed from oppression. Death was defeated. He made the way to eternal life. He enabled us to have a restored relationship with our God. The same God who spoke creation into being. The same God who knew and loved you from before all creation. And we can know him because of what Jesus did on that cross. And then Jesus commanded. He didn't ask us. He commanded us to participate in communion, in remembrance of what he did for us. What we're going to do this morning is following the command that Jesus gave in that upper room through his disciples over 2,000 years ago. This bread represents Christ's body, which was broken for us. This grape juice represents Christ's blood poured out for us. And let me conclude with this last sentence. There was no greater sacrifice than this. And all of God's people said,